I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
To the Raptors Over Everything live call-in show presented by KFC. I'm your host, William Liu, and I'm joined in these dark Raptors days by Josh Hart.
Dark days all around, but Will, it's good to be here with you.
It is. It's good. It's good. So, the Raptors, last five games, people are freaking out, man. They're 1-4 since Kyle Lowry and Serge Ibaka have been back. And they've been. I mean, let's just face it; they've been pretty bad. I don't recognize this team anymore.
Highlight of the week is a 1-point win over the Bulls.
That's not a highlight. That's not a highlight.
It's the highlight of the week.
Although we got to give a quick shout out to your boy Norm.
He's balling out of control, but is probably not leading to winning basketball.
I thought I was going to say that. So I mean, he did hit that big shot against Chicago, and honestly, no one else is scoring on this team right now.
Yep.
So at least Norm is doing that. I feel a little bit better about it, but yeah, listen, we're expecting a lot of angry phone calls because when the Raptors are bad, and they've been bad in the last 2 weeks, there's no really other way to say it. When they are bad, people get unreasonable. I've seen lots of trade scenarios for everybody, and so I'm excited for people to call in.
I feel like we got like a communicable disease from the Utah Jazz. Like, we spent that one night with Utah, a lot of fireworks.
Like a Freaky Friday situation.
Yeah, and then we have whatever they have. They've been terrible since that game. Since halftime in that game.
Yeah.
And then it broke the Raptors.
And the thing, we thought it would be the opposite because, you know, you have more talented players coming back into the rotation.
Yep.
But I feel like the mix hasn't been right. You and I have thought of some answers. We have thought of some solutions, but we want
to
hear.
You and Katie tried to work through it yesterday.
Yeah, we tried to, but then we just ended up Marie Kondoing the Raptors and deciding which ones sparked joy and which ones didn't. I think we actually had most of them still sparking joy except one of them.
Yikes. Also a philanthropist, an icon.
Yeah, the off-court surge 100% sparks joy, but
on-court surge.
Yeah.
Not so much fun right now.
No, it's not.
Though,
but
before we forget,
yeah.
Shout out to Louisa. Shout out to Mander.
Shout out to Louisa. Shout out to our what is West Toronto, Rexdale enthusiast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This podcast is very pro-Rexdale.
100%. 100%.
And she gifted us a great calendar from the Mandarin for next year.
This is way better than... This is way better. Alex is looking at that merch like he wants to buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have Detective Lee in the studio for some reason. But yeah, we can get to some phone calls.
Yeah, let's hit up the lines. We have Zarif on line... it's a comment, sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm really not too bright today.
Yeah.
Zarif M, Raptors has been trash, but it's not Lowry. Sure, of course it isn't. How could it be Lowry's fault?
Yeah, it is.
Lowry hasn't been good.
I mean, the man's shooting like 28% since coming back, but you understand that too.
Yeah, Kyle Lowry has a lot of these stretches, and he... has a lot of these stretches, and, you know, it happens. We have on line one, Nabil. Nabil, you're rocking with the champs.
Hello.
Hey, Nabil.
Hey, how's it going?
What's good, man?
Oof. Yeah, what color am I?
What? You're color number one today.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, lead us off. Come
Salute
on.
Salute to you.
Yeah, so, like, I know you guys get super whack trade proposals.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
But...
All the time, but I promise this isn't whack.
Okay, let's hear it.
At least it makes you think. It's not like ridiculous because I've heard some of the ones on the show and it's literally just like not even finished the trade. Yeah. All right. So basically, after listening to Lowe's podcast with, who was it? Oh, yeah, it was John Hollinger.
Uh-huh.
He brought up Rocco. And I thought, interesting. I basically went and tried to devise a trade for that, where it would make sense for both teams.
Yep.
Now, I'm assuming that Minnesota is no longer trying to get rid of Wiggins, given how much he's improved, or at least isn't, you know, going to have to attach crazy assets to move him. So, what I'm thinking is, Norm and Serge is expiring.
Okay.
And we take back Gorgui Dieng's remaining 2 years on his contract and Rocco. So basically, I think we take back 27 mil. That's how much we save on it. And then Mini takes back 32 mil. Why would Mini do it? Well, they want to get rid of Gorgie Dang's contract. They also want to shed some salary, given the fact that they have a ton committed to Cat and Wiggins. On top of that, they get to take a flyer on Norm, who gives you pretty decent production at that number, has some years of control on him. Top of that, they get rid of Dang quick. They shed some salary cap, and we take on Dang's 2 years remaining, but we also get Rocco, add to our wing depth, another competent 3-and-D guy.
We're trading two of the more competent three-point shooters for one. Like, is Rocco a much better shooter than either Norm or Serge?
Norm is a little down. Qualitatively, I think I would just rather trust him shooting three than Norm or Serge.
I agree with you that he's probably, like, I like the idea of having Rocco on this team. I'm not sure that that's a trade I make because of the three-point shooting you're giving back.
Yeah, look, I don't think it's horrible. This is definitely, like, you, as you promised, not a horrible trade proposal.
That's true. Yeah,
and it's intriguing. I will only say that, like, I don't really know if this addresses their problems this year. I think ultimately it's probably a trade. I think it's probably a trade the Raptors would probably pull the trigger on if they were offered this.
What is Rocco making?
He's making 11 right now,
which 11.
Is kind
and
of wild.
Four more discount. Years.
Yeah, that's pretty good. The only thing is, like,
which would lock him up in a potential scenario where we would find Giannis. And yeah, I agree with you, though. It does not solve our immediate problems, right? Like, it doesn't solve our creation issues. I just think it would bolster our wing depth. And I honestly think it should be pulled that trade off. We don't. There's no better defensive wing rotation in the league than the Raptors. Think about it. Rocco, Pascal, OG, RHJ.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Clippers exist. But aside from that... No, I mean, I agree with you, though. They're already really good on the wing, and you add Rocco into the mix, it's even better. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess the only thing that doesn't really excite me is just because I'm still worried about shot creation.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could probably play Gorgie Dang. I don't really know. It's not a great contract either way. And then, yeah, Rocco is the main piece there. But I don't really know, man. I kind of want more shot creation. This thing is, if it's a trade to address future things, then sure, maybe, because Rocco is a better long-term asset than any of Serge or Norm. But at the same time, if we're going to try to fix immediate problems, I don't really think this
Rocco's the guy.
Adds too much to it. But
I'm with you on the creation part, and I thought the Bogdan trade proposals have gotten, like, hammered to death. Yeah. And, like, I like them, but I ultimately think Zach is going to try to milk whoever the hell wants him for, like, every asset. So I was thinking... Does Tyus Jones interest you at all?
Yeah.
As an extremely low buy low option.
I want basically good Norm.
Yeah.
In return for bad Norm.
Yeah.
Bruh, you don't
know
what I mean?
I don't think you get back good Norm for bad Norm for Norm who is good Norm.
Yeah.
Plus Serge Ibaka.
That's yeah.
Is good Norm Will Barton? Because I don't think so. That's what I think of.
He's not far from it.
I want someone who can, like, run the offense a little bit, you know, like a playmaking too. Like, the ideal situation would be CJ McCollum, but he's real expensive.
He's really expensive.
But probably gettable, honestly. But, all right, yo, listen, Nabil, thanks for the call. Not a terrible trade.
Yeah, you deserve some credit for that.
There you go. Thank you.
All right, peace. Have a good one.
Yeah, enjoy the weekend.
You too, guys. Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, not a bad trade.
No, that's not terrible.
That was terrible. Yeah. All right, we have Kate on line two. Kate, welcome back to the show. Uh-oh. Kate?
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, shaken.
You know. Same old, same old.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you fine. Can you hear us?
Yeah, my phone looks like it might be dying, so hopefully that's not the case.
Uh-oh.
But if I cut it, I'll try and call back.
All right, cool.
Cool. What's good?
So, guys, like, what a week, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the finest weekend.
Definitely not a very fun week in Raptor Land, I'll say that much.
Well, I was thinking about you actually today because I was listening to another podcast, one where you were sparking joy with Katie.
Yeah.
And you didn't sound very joyful. And I know it's been, you know, sort of probably a personally difficult week as well as a difficult week for the Raptors. So
yeah.
I was thinking about you. I wanted to say I'm glad that you made it through the gauntlet, but, like, shout out to Vivek and shout out to Keyshawn, man.
100%.
I'm gonna speaking of sparking joy, Keyshawn sparked so much joy.
Keyshawn is just joy. Like, yeah. He's always smiling. He's always happy.
5'1" pure
so
joy.
So much energy. Alex is, like, in the corner crying again. Like, the fourth time this week. Yeah, we missed him a lot. We missed him a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been 2 days. It's been the longest 2 days of...
the Raptors season.
correct. Yep. The big point differential we've suffered. Well, I thought I'd call up and try and spark a different kind of joy. And I was actually thinking a lot this week about the term the washed king just seems to keep coming across my Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've been laughing a lot about this nickname, and I really cannot figure out where it's come from. And I've just kind of decided that LeBron self-appointed himself that nickname.
Exactly what happened.
I think he saw it one time, and he's like, that's me.
Yeah, he's creating this narrative for himself, which he loves to do.
Yep.
And it got me thinking about how the absolute worst nicknames in the NBA are those which are self-appointed.
Okay, this is great. All right, let's hear it.
Do call prepared.
Yeah,
and
these are the best calls. Kate, we just got to make you like a permanent fixture of the show.
We do appreciate it.
I kind of write down notes about things I'm thinking about. So I actually have a lot of material, but this is the one that really stuck with me this week. You should see, my friends get so annoyed because I send them really long introspectives about bizarre, inane things. The Washed King, I mean, I kind of, let's kind of go. It's kind of funny, but it's kind of ridiculous. The Black Mamba was another self-appointed nickname. And, you know, while it became pretty prolific with Kobe, I just think that we can say suck it to that nickname because he appointed it himself.
Yeah.
Waggy P would have been a great nickname.
I'm really into it, that nickname.
What's wrong with Swaggy P?
Nothing's wrong with it for the fact that it was self-appointed.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. Yeah.
What about Rondae Hollis-Jefferson's nickname?
Sorry?
Rondae Hollis-Jefferson.
He never actually self-appointed that. A fan came out with that, and he was simply decrying the garbage pail dog. What was it?
garbage pail dog.
Junkyard. I'm talking about Hustleman Chap.
Hustleman Chap, but he was saying that he didn't like the Junkyard Dog. He didn't want to be Junkyard Dog 3.0.
Yeah.
He probably did his research because Junkyard Dog 2.0 was Damari Carroll, and that you don't want to be associated with that.
You don't want to be associated. You don't want to be any 2.0 or 3.0. Like, but, come on, we can do better than that.
That's fact.
And if you're going to be 2.0, Junkyard Dog 2.0 is a low point. Like, you might could be
really
like
low hanging
KD 2.
Yeah,
Dirk,
be
Dirk
Air
2.0.
Canada 2.0.
Something like that. Junkyard Dog 2.0 is crazy.
Yeah, it's true.
Maybe the most egregious of all of the self-appointed nicknames, in my opinion, is Kevin Durant, who rejected what could have been the best nickname of all time,
Slim Reaper,
and said that he would prefer to be the servant.
Yeah.
The servant.
Shout out to Carl Lentz. That's a, that's a deep cut for my evangelical crowd. Yeah, he wanted to be called the servant. He wanted to be kind. Remember when he said, I wanted to be number two because he was the second pick in the draft? Kevin Durant.
Truly a unique superstar, I'll say that much. Yeah, not a lot of superstars want to be number two.
Yeah.
Dude, he's just so in his own head all the time. I want to take KD under my wing and just, shelter him.
Fair enough.
So he can just be best, just be the best.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving doesn't seem to be too good a job for his mentorship there.
Yeah, Josh.
I mean, they're interesting. They're two interesting cats. I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to be able to do together on the floor. At the very least, we're in for some treats in 2020.
I was going to say the Atlantic Division is about to be just hell after being like the worst division in at least basketball, maybe more than just basketball. The Titanic division has become like literally the cream of the crop.
Yeah,
like,
it's
Sixers,
gonna be
Celtics,
pretty tough. Right?
Raptors.
It's great that the Raptors
Nets are good.
Got their chip before it reloaded.
Yeah,
and
then the Knicks, who are going to be the Knicks all the time. But
shout out to the Knicks.
Yeah, I love the Knicks, man. And they really think they're going to get Masai too. It's adorable.
Oh, that's such a joke. Like, I don't even want to. I'm actually more concerned that they might get Bobby Webster than Masai.
I'm also concerned they will get Bobby Webster, only in the sense that he's the only one in the front office that acknowledges me when I go to the game because we're both Asian and we dap up. And then
if he leaves, then you have
Hawaiian.
Nothing.
It's Hawaiian.
You know what? I actually think it's because after game five in Milwaukee, I saw him in the tunnel.
Oh, you're going to call him out?
And I was like, yo, it's over, bro. We're not coming back to this, like, this Harley Davidson ass country. We're not coming back to this area. We're not coming back to this
busted
lake.
Ass arena.
No more like the pile of rubble beside the arena. We're over. It's done. I gave him the Vince Carter. It's done. And Bobby was like, "Yeah, we'll see." And I was like, "No, dog. It's done. It's done. Over. We're not coming back here." And then it was true. So,
all right.
It was true. Well, thinking about bad nicknames got me thinking about good nicknames. And are you guys familiar with the Chinese NBA nickname?
Yes, I've seen some of it on Reddit, but I don't know them intimately. No, I know the Mavericks for a very long time were small cows, like Cavs.
Oh my gosh,
like the Dallas Cavs for a while, and the Raptors are pretty much dragons, essentially.
The drinks.
Well, I'm more talking about like the players themselves. I know all the teams do, but I mean, one of the most intriguing things about Chinese nicknames for NBA players is that because Chinese language is both visual and phonetic, you can get a lot of like multi-layered puns.
Yeah.
And I love puns. So I picked out some of my favorites here, and I thought, you know, you guys might be able to vote on whether these would make great nicknames or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So Giannis
is
known as Letters Bro.
Makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense. That's
no problem. Like, that doesn't surprise you at all.
Understandable.
Letters Bro.
Will's underwhelmed by Giannis being known as Letters Bro in China.
I heard that one before.
Oh, have you? Okay. I haven't.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's good. Am I allowed to swear here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Are you talking about
Steph?
Steph
Curry.
Oh, yeah.
Steph Curry has a few. One of my favorite ones was Sprout God or Elementary School Student.
Yeah.
Sprout God.
The best one is the Sky Fucker.
That's really what it is.
Because the sky is the limit, it is. And then breaking through the sky, breaking through was like, they used euphemism, fuck. So, you know, there's some phonetic and visual puns that are going on there. And then when Dame Lillard was really good in 15-16 and beat Curry a couple of times, he was known as the Sky Fucker Fucker.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. One of my new favorite ones is Stephen Adams is known as King of the Sea because he looks like Jason Momoa from Aquaman.
Makes sense.
Yeah. These are great nicknames, man.
What China? What a hell of a place!
Yeah, we don't just make knockoff stuff. We come with some.
Yeah, you
original
come prepared
ideas.
With some original content.
Yeah, once in a while. Alex is in the background disagreeing.
Oh yeah,
understandably. It's a one country.
Bringing
system.
It back around to the Mamba nicknames, there's like a whole bunch of Mamba nicknames.
Yeah.
One of my favorites is for Kyrie Irving, who's not only known as potassium iodide because KI. which I really like. Which I really liked a lot, but he's also known as the Flat Mamba.
Wow. That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
The Flat Mamba.
Eric Gordon is known as Pi Mamba because his face is so round it can be used to calculate altitude of pi.
Yes. Oh, my. Finally, someone else has seen this. I've been saying this forever.
He has a very round face.
Eric Gordon's head is a dime. Yeah. Like, it's Queen Elizabeth in a circle.
Yeah, no, it
Holy,
is crazy.
Wow.
The back of his head should say Regina.
Perfect. Andre Iguodala is known as Coffin Mamba, which can
Coffin
also
Mamba.
Be translated as the Undead or Vampire Mamba. Because he plays like an old man during the regular season, but comes back to life in the playoffs.
Who
and the annual transformation
really...
is known as the opening of the coffin lid.
That's amazing.
I love that one. And then maybe one of my very favorite ones, because it's just so layered, is Harden is known as the Porcelain Mamba.
Oh, no.
Because in China, I guess there's a bumping porcelain is a euphemism for faking traffic accidents due to going all the way back to the Qing Dynasty. the Porcelain Mamba. He's always faking it.
Wow.
I would call him the Ice Mamba because he's only good until it gets warm outside.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, he has a bunch of
That is DeMar DeRozan.
All
right, Kate, thanks so much for calling in.
This is an amazing call.
This is a very good call.
Yeah.
You are very prepared, and we appreciate that endlessly.
Please call next week.
Yeah, you know what? I just wanted to give you a bit of a respite from what's, you know, we're coming up on the 15th, so you're bound to have a bunch of trade questions coming your way. So
yeah, good
luck.
Yeah, I was going to say, the first call is already that. So thank you so much. And thank you again to the Chinese fans that nicknamed Eric Gordon the Pie Mamba.
All right.
The Pie Mamba.
That's insane.
All right, peace.
It's so good. 3.14. Take it. Bye, Jen.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Eric Gordon.
That's incredible.
That is very, very good. All right,
we got Arun, actually.
We have Arun on the line.
We have Arun on the line.
Arun, what's good?
What's good? It's a token.
Arun, you there?
Yo, what up?
What up?
What it do, baby? All righty.
Wow. Our token has called in. We filled the quota now.
Yeah.
So listen, from the DMs, I've been hearing some things about Norman Powell, and we have a Jamaican here who loves Norman Powell and has an uncle literally named Norman Powell.
What do you got to say?
What do you got to say to him about Norman Powell?
Duh, Norman Powell's trash, B.
Take it back.
Straight garbage. Nah, I'm not taking it back.
I can bang it on you right now.
Yo, why are you throwing the ball away for no reason? Why does he hate passing the ball directly to people?
Because that's not his job. His job is to look at the basket and run towards it.
I've never seen a man throw a bounce pass 2 feet ahead of the guy who was trying to bounce it, too.
That was really bad on the break when he tried to hit OG. That was rough stuff.
What was going on there?
That was
why does Norm get into his stance on defense only to get blown directly by the next possession? Like, the next second? Like, how does someone get into defensive possession?
I'm not playing with you. I'm hung up. Norm Powell, like, is being tasked with a lot out of nowhere.
Uh-huh.
I know he asked for it, but he clearly doesn't have the ability. He's fine. He's Dion Waiters. He shouldn't have this bigger role in the offense that he currently has, and mm-hmm. he's doing what he can. It sucks because, you know, Norm Powell shouldn't have a long leash, and he has just enough rope to hang himself right now.
Wow. Okay. I thought you were going to say he does a lot of really good things, but then he just takes a lot off the table. You know. He's like most men.
He just shouldn't have so much license. He's getting to do too much in the offense, and it's costing.
Yeah. But you know, listen. Honestly, would we have won more games in this stretch where Fred's been banged up without Norm or with Norm? Let's say it was Langston Galloway instead or something. Like a real league average. Like a Wayne Ellington.
Is Langston Galloway league average?
Yeah, no.
He's average for getting robbed.
But why do we have to pretend about Langston Galloway when we could just play like Terrence Davis for 25 minutes?
Yeah, okay, that's fair. I agree.
Well, like, honestly, like, if that's the replacement.
Would they have been better with 25 minutes per game from Terrence Davis, maybe even 30, honestly, with Fred out?
Terrence Davis.
Okay, let's relax. Terrence Davis isn't getting to 30 minutes without fouling out.
Yeah, he fouls too much.
That's fair.
Norm Powell doesn't seem to foul a ton, but he also plays very bad defense at times.
Really bad. I mean, I just think decision-making is not there for Norm.
Yeah.
But he's still useful. That's the thing.
No.
You just need, like, everybody else on the floor to be smart.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah,
it's like a group project, you know what I mean? Like, if Norm Powell is, like, the guy, like, doing most of the writing and researching and presenting.
Yeah, it's not Norm Powell's job. His job is, look, we're going to finish this project, and you have to submit it at 8 a.m. All right?
You just have your to go to
job.
School.
Shout out to my homie in first year, Korean guy, couldn't really speak any English. He said, he's like, look, man, I can do all the research. Mm-hmm. I can't do any of the writing, but I can hand it in the morning. I'm like,
done.
You got it, buddy.
That's a great,
go, do that.
Great,
and that's what Norm's role should be.
Yeah. Hand it in, as in Marc Gasol hands you the ball right at the
and
rim.
You lay it in.
Or you're wide open for three, you hand it the ball, you shoot the ball. Because he is good at finishing. Everything else is bad.
Bad, yeah.
But, wow. What a great call from Arun.
Sorry. Arun. Yeah. Arun Assad.
I'm now confused.
Yeah, seriously. Congratulations on being the only Yahoo employee remaining, Arun.
Yeah.
Assad? Wow. I don't know.
Oh, man.
Well.
Yeah, no.
All right.
Honestly, loving the check. Wanted to just shout out real quick, Will Lou Fitz, coming out here with the best. I see it.
I only have six items in my closet, man.
Yeah, it's like this vest. You guys have seen this vest before. Anyway, Assad, for real. We'll hit you later.
All right.
Thanks for calling in, man.
Peace.
Bye.
You, bro. All right. Wow. We have a. This is all bangers so far.
Yeah, it's all bangers. Yeah, we have legend Vitaly from Moscow. Vitaly, you're on the line with me and Will. What was that?
That's the that's the Vonip connection.
Vitaly.
Hi guys.
How you doing?
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good. Welcome back.
I listened to the show last week. Thank you for the shout out. I heard you guys mentioned me.
Yeah.
Yes. How are you doing? I listened a couple of weeks back to Will, your podcast with Jack Armstrong.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to say, man, Jack Armstrong in Toronto is a legend.
Yeah.
I didn't know about he adopted two children. Honestly, it was very moving.
Three
children. Yeah. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Really felt like I saw, listened to a side of him I didn't know. I wanted to ask you, how did you pull this off? How did you get this interview?
I see him at the arena, so I just walked up to him, and he's a nice guy. And he's like, yeah, sure. And then we did the interview, and he's like, wow, people listen to your show? And I was like, apparently.
Yeah.
And so he was very nice. We actually had to record twice because my equipment screwed up on me the first time.
So that's what I wanted to ask you. I listened, and you said the first time was really epic. There were some good moments, but mm-hmm. you lost it.
Yeah,
Could you tell us maybe some snippets, like something from that podcast that we may have missed that would be cool to share?
I mean, he was talking about, like, he knows a lot of people.
I imagine.
Like, he was just casually mentioning, like, some NFL owners that he's friends with, and he's talking to them about, you know, their perspectives on Masai, and it was kind of interesting. You never hear, you know, NFL executives talk about, you know, counterparts in that kind of way. He talked about Matt Devlin's hair as a young man, because they worked together a very, very long time ago, and... we said a lot of nice things. I mean, honestly, we did recreate most of the things that we said, so I don't know what that is. I don't want to assume what that is.
I'm sorry. It's Shisha. It's not what you think. I'm actually in New York right now. I've been here for business last week. I'm just in the... Yeah, it's my buddy's place.
That's amazing.
Sorry, you think this is the... What you call it, devil lettuce?
Yeah.
No.
Of course.
Can I ask you something else? I may be late on this, but this was an interesting story. Did you notice this with Patrick Patterson on Instagram? There was a situation. He said something like bulldog. I kind of read the story, but I don't know really what to think of it. Do you guys have like a take on this whole situation?
He put his foot in his mouth and...
What?
The Patrick Patterson.
Can you explain?
Can I explain?
Okay.
Patrick Patterson
had
all those
yes.
unkind things to say about black women.
Oh, that. I thought. Okay, yeah.
No,
I heard. I saw that. Yeah, that was... go ahead.
It's just embarrassing. Like,
embarrassing, man.
We, as a society, don't treat black women as well as we ought to, and Patrick Patterson is... as an example of that, as much as anybody else.
This man's asking us about Patrick Patterson. While smoking
this is some
this
iconic.
Best call ever, man. Pat, man, that's disgusting. What you're saying?
Yeah, keep your mouth.
Well, because you know English, like my second language. I didn't know what this was mean. But I think people go too hard on him. I seen him when I was in. He seems like a nice guy.
He
made a mistake.
Yeah, and I think he apologized. He said he put his foot in his mouth, and I still, you know, don't care much for his apology, but, you know, he has his own life to live. He has a great career, a great life, you know.
Yeah.
These guys put their foot in their mouth. Anywho.
I'm happy it's Pascal Siakam playing power forward now.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Yeah, he's downgrade over Mr. 15% from three, Patrick Patterson, for sure.
We need this.
We need this. Oh.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
the Raptors
really...
are now down 12 again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Mr. Every shot that counts, he can't hit. I just want to say, honestly, like, yes, we've lost, three of our last four?
Mm-hmm. Four of our last
think
five.
Larry's four or five. Okay. You make it worse.
Yeah.
The sky is not falling, guys. We're on pace for 50, over 50 wins. We
go.
Have a new star in Siakam. Van Vliet is developing. We have injuries. We will be good. We'll probably make conference finals. You guys just need to relax. They act like it's some shit show. It will be okay. That's all I want to say.
There we go.
They should be able to turn it around, but it's...
Okay, deep breath, guys. It's going to be a good season, and just remember, Joel Embiid is big fraud.
All right. Yo, that's right. The best call ever. Thank you, Vitaly. All right. Bro.
Salute to Vitaly.
Cheers, guys.
All right. Yo, enjoy your night, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Peace. This is...
Oh, my God.
This
guy's a legend.
Yeah,
man.
Fiercely.
This guy's a legend.
He definitely thought we thought we were smoking weed on live with us.
I mean, not to stereotype. I thought it was, he was pouring like vodka, like right in front of the microphone. Like,
what is going on?
But then when he said it was shisha, I was like, wow, damn.
Yeah.
A man international.
Yeah, man international. Calling from New York. Calling from Moscow next week. Need a breath. All right.
We got some hot takes coming in.
All right. We have Deep from Victoria. How's it going? You're on the line with me and Will. Yo.
Now you're not there?
Do.
All right. Well, this is why we have prepared segments.
Yeah.
For lulls like this, where we have the phone lines open, you can call the numbers below and we will get you hooked up with our producers.
416-263-8297.
Yeah.
416-263-8298. Call in.
And you can connect with our producers and get on the show. But in the meantime, Josh, you and I have done some preparing. And so I kind of already touched on this the last episode, but not really, because I ended up getting sidetracked and did a Marie Kondo exercise on the Raptors. But let me ask you this. Why is this team suddenly so bad? And give me one tangible and immediately actionable task that we can get them on the right path.
An immediate task and get them right on the right path?
Mm-hmm.
I think I know yours. Do you want to talk about the transition problems here now? I think the getting the Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Chris Boucher, Terrence Davis tandem back on the court is important to the Raptors succeeding.
You want to just see those two together, those three together.
So the Raptors' defense is still really good, but they haven't been able. They're a team that predicates a lot of their offensive attack and transition after creating stops on the defensive end, and their offensive efficiency in transition is tanked. You were looking it up right before the show. What was the statistic?
Yeah, so this is a big problem. So before Kyle Lowry and Serge Ibaka came back, the Raptors scored 19.6 points per game in transition and allowed 11.6 per game from the opposition. So that's +8 in just transition points. Yep. That's a huge advantage. If you give me +8 in any category in any sort of thing in basketball, it's going to be huge. Now, since Kyle Lowry and Serge Ibaka come back, the Raptors are averaging 14.8 points per game in transition and allowing 14.2. So only an advantage of +0.6. That right there, that was 7.4 points per game that the Raptors used to get as an advantage over the other teams in transition.
Yep.
Is really, really turning this team from a really good one into one that's kind of painfully average.
Yeah.
Until this problem is reversed. Now, we know they have the potential to force turnovers and play in transition, and they're still a fast team. But having said that, their transition defense has slipped. They have given up more of that up because I think, honestly, their offense hasn't been running as smoothly.
Yep.
And also, they're just slower as a team.
Yeah.
With these two guys in, especially I think Serge has really been the one that if you watch, honestly, Boucher play versus Serge play, Boucher definitely has more energy, especially while Serge is still dealing with the ankle thing. So, yeah, I think, honestly, that accounts for most of why the Raptors are struggling. You're losing 7.4 points per game in the transition game.
And Serge has been really bad in transition, and his touch seems to be really off. And I do think it has a lot to do with the injury because his mechanics just don't seem right. He's missing at the rim. He's missing from the elbow where he's been good for so much of his career. Even along the baseline, he hasn't looked great. I think he can turn it around, but... I think that is one of the bigger problems that we're facing.
Yeah, yeah. So, let's take another call.
All right, we got Robbie on Robbie Johnson from Ottawa on line one. Robbie, what's good? Robbie.
Yeah.
How's it going, RJ?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. Well, this is my friend Rob. He lives in Ottawa. When I lived out there, we became pals.
Cool.
I think he's calling in to, I don't know, beak me about fantasy football or ask maybe a thoughtful question about the Raptors.
All right.
I do.
All right. What's up?
So, my question has to do with Masai and the Knicks. I know Tannenbaum kind of to go to the Knicks and kind of fix that whole franchise and make them legitimate. I don't know. It seems like such a big draw and, like, legacy builder for him, where in Toronto, now that he's won a championship and done everything to fix our franchise, do you think he's maybe bored and going to a big city like New York interests him more than what is kind of being said and how much he says he loves it here and is staying here?
Well, I mean, there's honestly two ways to look at it. I'm not going to pretend like we know Masai that well, that we know exactly how he's thinking. But I will say this. It's weird to argue fixing an unfixable problem as an appeal. You know, yeah. It's like, oh, look at this dude. He's permanently broken, but someone's going to come try to fix him as their partner. It's like, that doesn't really happen outside of, like, TV shows written by men. And right. it feels very much like that in this case with the Knicks. In terms of what Masai... Here's the thing. I can also look at it this way. Masai built the Raptors from the ground up, really. Like, even those details in that profile by Trevor Cole in Toronto Life. But you know, Masai, when he came to this organization... handed the team a list of 14 people in the organization. You got to fire these people right now,
yep.
And we got to start fresh. And he brought in this whole crew, Bobby, Dan Tolsman, Teresa. Like, all these people are people that he brought in, and young people, and he started to build this thing. And I still think of it as something that it's being built in progress. Because yeah. I don't think, you know, even though you won the championship, yeah, that's cool. But I think, honestly, he wants to build it into, like, a sustainable thing, like he said. As big as Manchester United, as big as Liverpool,
And they're not. The Raptors are not a international sporting franchise. Not even close.
Not yet. And they might not. Honestly, I don't think any basketball team can get to that level because it's
the
just
Lakers are close.
No, Imran. The scale of like United and Liverpool versus any other franchise, honestly, in anything is different. But what I was trying to say is that Masai has built this, and I don't really see a reason why Masai wouldn't want to leave something that he built.
Yeah, and I think my take is that Masai.
Also, the Knicks are ass.
Yeah, I think Masai. I think one of the big problems for Masai to go to New York is to work for James Dolan. James Dolan has a track record of not being able to source executives who make good decisions to keep ones that do around. I think
and then he fires everyone except for himself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then he gets a whole new batch of musicians around him to open for Jethro Tull.
That's actually his life, though.
Yeah, seriously. I agree with Will that I don't think the Raptors are actually. I don't think that Masai's ambitions for this franchise have been satisfied yet. I think that there's a lot of headroom on what the Raptors can be, and Masai won't leave until that's done. Masai Ujiri could be the greatest talent scout of domestic players that's ever existed, but he decided to take his scouting operation to a different continent where we've seen only a handful of elite talents from. Masai's very committed to leaving a huge legacy and not just one of success. I think Masai wants to, build a sporting franchise in Canada that rivals the, if at the end of Masai's tenure here, you think Lakers, Celtics, Knicks, Bulls, Raptors, then I think Masai would be satisfied. And we're not there yet. We're really just I don't know.
Do you think he uses this in contract negotiations, though? Because he's due for one, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's getting the fucking Brinks truck pulled up to his house.
He's getting the bag. I mean, he was going to get the bag regardless, but obviously it helps to have more leverage.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying he's ruling it out entirely, but I mean, you know what I mean? I still think ultimately when it comes time to decide, he'll pick Toronto because, quite frankly, it's just way better of a situation than the Knicks. Yeah. I mean, making your life harder for yourself is not something Masai generally likes to do, I don't think.
No.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And, he did turn out, rumored shares from the Wizards to stay, so...
I feel like if it came down to it, Masai can get a piece of that action from MLSC.
Yeah, if he needed to.
Yeah.
Cool. And I have one more question in regards to Kevin Love. What would be the ideal lineup if they did it, and what do you see that Cleveland's asking for going the other way?
I don't think they're asking that much because that contract is bad. He's getting paid
$30 plus million,
and he's 31 years old. And it's on the books through 2021, which is the summer that people really, really want to keep space for. How Kevin Love would match up in the Raptors offense, I honestly think if you replaced him with someone like Marc Gasol, for example, it's kind of like it's just entirely different, right? Marc brings so much for you defensively that allows everyone else to operate, and he's unselfish offensively. I mean, he's limited offensively. That's the real answer, but he's also very unselfish. and he helps other people thrive. If you have Kevin Love in that situation, and first off, he has got to buy into the situation, which I don't think will be that big of a problem, but still, it is a question mark. He has to buy in. But even if he does buy in, he's still really bad on defense.
Yep.
Terrible.
And he's probably taking shots away from a guy like Pascal, if I'm being honest, right? Because right now, Marc Gasol's shooting, like, what, three times a game? It feels like maybe five. So you replace that with suddenly a guy who's shooting, like, 17 times, and so you're going to get full value on Kevin Love. Then you got to take away 12 more shots from everyone else.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so and I would rather trade for a wing.
Yeah.
That's my personal preference.
Even in, like, another,
It's not the worst idea. Like, I like Kevin Love, but, like,
he would be a good player on this team, but I don't think he...
Yeah, the contract seems to be the big holdup, which is weird because he said he wants to go to Portland, but they also have, like, massive contracts there already.
They'd have to send back CJ.
Maybe it would be CJ in a three-way deal. Who knows?
CJ to the weird. Orlando Magic? That would be tight.
Man. DeMar DeRozan just...
Cool.
All right, Rob.
Punching air right now.
Yeah, thanks for your time.
Thank
good
you.
To see you, Josh.
Yeah, good speaking to you. Good you luck on Fantasy this the weekend.
Fantasy. Yeah, you too, man.
All right.
Hopefully see you in the finals.
Hell yeah, pal. All right.
All right. Cheers, guys.
Left to you and said.
Yeah, thanks, dude.
Wow.
Rob has a kid on the way. It's very exciting.
That's fantastic. Congratulations.
Yeah. We have Sam from Stratford on line two. Sam, you're rocking with the champs.
Is that your go-to line now?
Yeah. Did you watch the Moshe Kasher and Neil Brennan podcast?
No, I didn't. But also, hey, shout out to the time Neil Brennan was on At Large with Alex Wong.
Neil Brennan did Alex's podcast?
Yes, he did.
Was it a good time? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
It was really good.
Oh, wow. That's pretty tight.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see if Sam's there. Sam, are you there?
Come on. How much time do you want us to buy?
Sam.
Hello.
Hey, Sam. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. What's life like in Stratford?
What's that?
What's life like in Stratford?
Life in Stratford. Oh, where do I begin? It's cold.
Okay.
Tight?
I don't know. Probably no colder than it is where you are.
I went to the Justin Bieber pizza once, and it's pretty cool.
You went to the Justin Bieber what?
Pizza? He, like, appears in it and never say never. Some, like, teenage girl asked me to leave my seat because I was in a Bieber seat, and I said,
okay.
And
really?
I went to go see Jesus Christ Superstar at this theater there. It was very fascinating.
And you were in Bieber's seat?
Yeah, he, like, sat down in that pizza. Somebody said, can I have your
seat?
That's
so weird.
Justin Bieber sat there. I'm like, okay.
Word. Man, he actually used to be, he used to play basketball at the YMCA here, and there were sort of stories of him growing up and being a little shithead on the court, but I never played against him.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. You want to talk about Pascal?
Yeah, he's a really peculiar player, and it's kind of, I think, I wanted to call just so I could think out loud a little bit. Like, first of all, when we think about his trajectory and we think about, you know, him having started playing so old, it kind of, I think, as an onlooker, and you're thinking, okay, well, how good can this guy get? You can't really compare him to a lot of other players in the league, at least none that I can think of off the top of my head. And if you're Masai Ujiri and you just give him this extension, it's like, I guess I'm just like, what do you guys think Masai is thinking Siakam's going to look like 18 months from now? Is it going to be a face-up game that suddenly develops? Is it going to be a more developed post-game? Is he going to put on weight so that he can make that sort of, you know, mid-post game more effective? Like, what do you guys think he's going to look like?
I think it's the face-up game. I really do.
I think
he's going to develop a better jumper. And I think we've already seen him take strides in making the jump shot. The weird thing is, if you just look at the numbers, his shooting percentages in terms of jump shooting is probably down from last year. But you got to consider the context and how these jumpers are being shot.
Yeah,
he's creating them by himself now.
A lot
he's
more
taking
above
them
the break.
Off the break, above the break, he's taking them off the dribble, and he's taking them against defenses that are usually putting their best defender on him, and also usually putting two defenders on him. So I think this is part of the transition process. I remember, you know, Nick Nurse said, like, in a practice maybe about a month back, maybe 3 weeks, where he was like, honestly, Pascal is like 18 months away, basically. 12 to 18 months away from where he's going to be as a shooter. So we're kind of seeing the growth in real time. And one of the issues with seeing growth is that it's exciting when you see it.
Yeah.
But it's also really, really discouraging when they fail. But you kind of have to let him ride it out right now. Right now, honestly, I think Pascal – has shown definitely more skills than he did last season. I think we can all agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
And his numbers overall have still been pretty good. It's just that, like, yeah, he needs to continue developing because by no means is even the start of this season, that version of Pascal, that's not a finished product, and that cannot be a finished product for a number one guy.
Yeah.
So he's going to continue improving. Whether he gets it there or not, I mean, I don't know. All I know is the man works like crazy. Like, every time you go to practice, he's always there working on extra drills. And I'm telling you, all he works on, well, not all, but most of what he works on is a face-up game.
Mm.
So I really do think that's the next area of improvement for him.
It is interesting because when you see, at least when I'm watching him and, you know, and the defense recognizes, okay, they're just dumping it to Siakam and he's going to create. Siakam looks really hesitant to sort of just pivot and open up towards the basket. Like, he right away puts his back to the basket. Yeah, when he does that, he goes for the spin move, but he's approaching it from so far away from the basket that he's spinning into traffic. And when you have your back to the basket, you can't see help coming. So it's like, you have to, like,
face
up. It's just so interesting that he just keeps, like, sort of deferring to that kind of, like, knee-jerk, I'm going to post up, you know, just inside the three-point line. It's like, no, dude, just, like, face up and take your time. You look at Kawhi. I mean, I'm not saying that he can be that way, but it's like, it just seems like such an obvious thing that hasn't happened yet, or at least that he hasn't tried to do yet.
Yeah, I think it's just confidence, don't you think?
Yeah, I think what, like, eventually Pascal's game, when it's sort of idealized, will mean he's able to take somebody face up, they'll come in, he's able to blow past pretty much anybody. I mean, he's not super strong, but he's fast and long. And then he can get to the rim. Right now, he wants to immediately post somebody up and back them down, and he's driving into traffic, and he's not strong to take over, you know, unless it's a favorable matchup. He can't blow past somebody that far from the basket.
Yeah, and I also think that there is an element of fatigue when I watch him, and only in the sense that he does seem to be, in more than previous years, really discouraged when things don't go his way, and you can see the frustration coming out of him. And I think a lot of that does have to do with the fact that, A, he's had to do way more than he's ever done. He's got way more responsibility. But also, I just think the man's kind of tired. And I think that's also part of being a number one guy, is managing your energy. You know what I mean? Like, jumping right into it is, I mean, going all out as a number one guy, it's really exhausting. Like, Giannis can do it, but, like, not a lot of players can regularly do it. But
yeah,
I don't know. I'm honestly, like, I'm pretty happy with what I'm seeing from Pascal. I think these are just regular growing pains. And, you know, these are all valuable teaching experiences. And we'll see. If he's still the same player, like, a year from now, then I'm a little bit more concerned. But right now, I think objectively he's taken another big step. And it's just, you know, seeing him learn and adapt. And it's been very rewarding to watch him, to be honest.
And, like, the thing that you and I talk about is just making sure that his floor is
really high.
It's high. Because it needs to be for this team to predictably win. And I'd like to see him, you know, make a name for himself in, like, these fourth quarters. Like, down the stretch, he's just not been, because it's, I want there to be a highlight clip or, like, a package of fourth quarter performances from Pascal Siakam at the end of this year for, you know, you to break down and say he's developed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, start the propaganda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, you need that propaganda. Yeah.
Facts, Kellerman.
All right. Well, Sam, thank you. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, be good.
All right, cheers, guys.
Peace.
There we go. All right, before we take another call from Deep, who's called back from Victoria, we got to clear some of these YouTube comments as well. But we do have to get to our signature segment, Stanley Suggestions.
Stanley Suggestions. It is a segment like no other.
It really is. An extremely regional segment.
Yeah.
Where we recommend for Stanley, who has probably some time. Today I saw him at practice working pretty hard. I think he's getting healthier.
That's pretty good.
Which is good. So he's got less time now. The Raptors had this, like, what would you really call this thing? Like a reaction time gadget thing? So they had like 9 pillars set up around him, these little posts, and they would light up, and he would have to dribble the ball and then touch the post that lights up. Well, you know what I mean? It's an agility reaction drill. So I think he's getting back into health, and that's good. And hopefully we can stop doing these and, you know, focus on a better player that has free time.
Who would be
free
the next player up?
DeJuan's Destinations is my next one. I'm really liking that one. But in the meantime, it's still Stanley Suggestions. What's your Stanley suggestion for this week?
So this week, it's a little early, but I think he's going to need to get on top of it to make it. Next week, Uncut Gems premieres in Toronto. The film featuring Adam Sandler, Idina Menzel, Kevin Garnett, directed by the Safdie brothers, who directed a fucking Jay-Z video 2 years ago. Get your tickets early. It's coming to TIFF Bell Lightbox, and you got to hit it up.
I'm reminded of the time John Travolta said Idina Menzel.
Well, I can't even remember what he said.
Just look it up.
Just,
man.
He
just
said he was Alphabet. What was the
Alphabet bro?
Alphabet bro.
Yeah, yeah. My Stanley suggestion this week is to visit Mandarin in Etobicoke on Queensway.
Salute to
not this one. That's not the one in Rexdale. Not the one in Rexdale. That's probably a better one, to be honest. But the
don't
one on Etobicoke. It's on Queensway.
Yep.
And it's not far away from. It's actually within walking distance, even in wintertime. It's within walking distance to Queensway Cineplex.
That is a great Queensway.
Yeah, there we go. So that's honestly, actually, as someone who grew up in Etobicoke, the best possible date in Etobicoke. Like, you can maybe
go to
Tom's
that. Dairy Freeze.
Are you talking about Dimitri's?
No, Tom's Dairy Freeze on Queensway. But Dimitri's on Royal York is also
that's
great
also
date.
One.
Yeah, that's up there, too.
But this is probably it. Going to Mandarin and going to Queensway Cineplex and playing some of the arcade games beforehand. Yeah. They've really expanded that. And also, you know, it's probably where I'm going to spend Christmas after the Raptors beat the Celtics on Christmas Day. I'll probably go catch a movie with my father and my little brother and my cousin.
That's very sweet. We have someone who wants to join us for Stanley Suggestions.
Wow, okay.
Samir in Houston, you are on with me and Will. You have a suggestion for Stanley Johnson.
Yes, actually, I was thinking you guys suggest lots of stuff for Stanley to do when he's in Toronto.
Yeah.
But what about when he's on the road? He does travel with the team, right? So,
okay, fair.
Are we sure?
No, he does.
I know.
Come on.
Yeah. So since he travels on the road, like, what would you say some of the major cities, like, let's just say the Atlantic Division rivals, what are some of the places you suggest for him in those cities?
You're really putting us on the spot.
Oh, that's
So let's start with New York City. So I've actually really liked what's that place is called? It's like Xi'an's Fine Noodles or something like that.
Is that the hand pulled noodles place?
It kind of is.
Damn,
yeah.
That was my.
I'm sorry. Alex, you really looked them up.
Yeah,
wow.
I know. Alex,
you know what I'm talking about?
The Nike space in New York City is pretty tight.
Mm. The NBA store?
No,
that'd be
no,
weird.
The,
that'd be weird if an NBA weird. Player went to the NBA store for
in
a year.
Brooklyn? I don't know.
There's a pizza spot in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Which is really famous, I think.
Joe's is good.
Gotta get a room back on the line.
Yeah, gotta get a
room. Honestly, I really don't know.
Grimald.
Oh, yeah.
What it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
In Philly. Philly, I actually have a couple places because I was there for the playoffs. Art Museum is fantastic.
What about Insomnia Cookies? They fixed Kawhi and...
Insomnia Cookies.
They
there
fixed
you go.
Kawhi and Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
So if he goes there and
that's
has a cookie...
True.
That's it. Honestly, like, that's my Philly suggestion. Yeah. That and also Market Square. It's kind of like St. Lawrence Market, but bigger and a lot of great food in there. It's in the center of the city. But
Insomnia Cookies must have whatever than the stuff they gave the Black Panther.
Terminal Market? I forget where it was, but someone in Philly would know. And then in Boston, I've never been to Boston.
Boston's really nice. If he wants to go down by the... There's like a colonial path. It's pretty tight. Cambridge is really cool. Shout out to Juliet in Cambridge. That's a restaurant recommendation for you. Union Square Donuts in Cambridge is great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
but
so we've covered
that. We've covered it.
That's the four, yeah.
That's the four.
Okay, that's good. Because I just wanted to say, so I live in Houston, Texas.
Yeah.
So when he comes to Houston,
what's your suggestion?
I was talking more of the tourist stuff. So for example, there's NASA that he could take a visit to, and also Galveston. Aside from that, there really isn't much to do here in Houston.
Wow.
So.
I'm hearing so much about Cajun crawfish.
Oh yeah, that's true. There is a crawfish, but I think that's around springtime-ish.
Gotcha.
Okay,
so that makes sense this year because he comes in April this time.
Okay,
so.
There you go. Crawfish, and then also hit up James Harden for late night suggestions. All right, anyway, Samir,
for sure.
Thank you for calling in from Houston.
All right.
I appreciate the love.
Yeah,
thank you. Thanks, guys.
Have a good weekend. Peace.
Bye-bye.
Stanley Suggestions, a segment like no other.
Yeah, it really is, man. I can't believe someone from Houston asking us to give recommendations.
Yeah,
for
that
Stanley. That's
came
great.
Out of nowhere.
We finally got the deep.
Yeah, deep
Take
on
two.
Line one. Deep yarn with the line with me and Will.
All right, how's it going, guys?
Yo,
pretty good.
What's up, guys?
How you doing, man?
First off, I just want to thank you guys for all your hard work.
Oh, thank you.
I've been following you guys for a long time, specifically you, Will Lou, since the Raps Republic days.
Raps Republic forever, even though I didn't go to that party last night, but, you know. So
Pound the Rock and yeah. obviously consume all the content, including this pod every week. So you guys are great, man. And I feel for you guys for losing your team members.
Thank you.
Yeah, I got a few things I want to talk about. First off, offensively and defensively, what do you guys suggest we start with first?
Let's start with defense. That's okay. What this team's built on.
Defense wins championships, right? Okay. So obviously, we're a tough team to play against, right? We're able to throw various looks and schemes out there,
yeah.
Which are all pluses, right?
Sure.
But our aggressive trapping and doubling D on opposing stars puts our back end help in jeopardy.
Yeah.
Scrambling to get open to shooters, for example, Daniel House versus the Rockets, Thibault and the Sixers,
yeah.
And Lou Will more recently.
He cooked us.
So I personally think, like, of course, that's great. We should be able to do that, sprinkling it here and there, right? But mm-hmm. we also got to be able to just play man-to-man and double it and help out of that, right?
I agree.
For stretches of games, manning up one-on-one is often better for our pesky perimeter defenders like OG Norm,
yep.
yeah.
Fred, Kyle, Pascal. And another thing that I think about is have our bigger guys be the helpers, right? So put like a smaller guy like Norm or Fred on opposing wings and have Pascal or somebody else come and double who's longer, because then they can create deflection.
Right.
And obviously, when you put Fred on a bigger guy, he's into the guys, but he's also often very good just digging in, right? So maybe you don't do that with him, but it's nice to have a big, long guy coming and doubling to kind of blow shit up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And one other thing is, remember when OG would guard marquee wings one-on-one like James Harden and
yep.
just make it real tough on him? Like,
of course. Much.
Yeah, they need to go back to
yeah,
that.
I remember we talked about that last week, or you guys did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my only thing is, like, I agree with all of those. I think it's just what's being lost a little bit is element surprise. If you're springing a trap, fundamentally, not even just in a basketball term, a trap is supposed to be someone gets lured into something and is surprised.
Yeah.
The Raptors are now so well known and so well covered, there's tons of videos out there of what the Raptors are planning to do to teams, and teams are like, we have scouts, so we already see what's going on, and B, we know exactly what this team is known for, and so they're preparing for it. I've seen multiple teams come in and instantly solve the trap because they've practiced for it.
Yeah.
So you need to now change it up a little bit. That's all. I'm just saying the scouting report is out a little bit. Just like the scouting report is out on, you know, Pascal a little bit. Scouting report is out on Nick Nurse a little bit. I don't think it's wrong. I don't think the traps or anything like that is a bad strategy. It's just that he needs to find new ways to surprise the other team with
it. And needs to, like, have a bit more fundamentally sound defense. Funnel guys to the basket for bad shots and then just secure the defensive rebound. Something the Raptors haven't done reliably. And you'd... Like, all of the full-court presses and all of the boxing ones are great to pull them out to surprise somebody, but when you are running all this cute stuff all the time, like, I think people start to recognize it. And just, put OG and Fred VanVleet on, against the backcourt, and you'll be okay.
Honestly, mostly. All right, what do you want to say about offense? We're running a little short on time.
Okay, sorry, guys.
Not sorry.
Offensively, versatility, just switching stuff up, like, we play lots of spots and we move the ball, which is great. It's fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe just running some old school sets and getting good looks. Like, run a big to small screen and have Pascal go off onto a smaller defender and let him shoot over him or go one-on-one against him, or set a cross screen for Pascal when he's struggling and not able to make shots. He can't always just create his own shots.
Get
so
the Kyle Surge pick and roll running again.
Set a cross screen with maybe Kyle or Frank coming into the post, sets a screen on his man, and then he comes across and he gets switched off and goes that go-to jump hook, right?
I like it.
Just switch it up a little bit, because playing one-on-one or just moving the ball isn't really cutting it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mix it up both on defense and offense, because we're getting real predictable on both sides of the ball right now.
Yeah, I like that. And I'll just to quickly interject, I would prefer if the Raptors tried to establish Siakam inside first, rather than have him shoot some jumpers on the outside. Because if he misses those first two jumpers, defense is tightening up. You're never going to get that defense to open back up.
Yeah.
If he's already attacking the paint early, then he can draw double teams and anything like that. And then when he steps out, he'll have even more open looks because the defense is already you know, withdrawn because they expect him to go to the basket. So he might get easier looks and be in more rhythm.
Especially when he's struggling because
yeah.
when you talk to coaches and guys are struggling, you just need to see the ball go through a couple times and, yeah. and your game starts flowing and the basket starts to open up, right? That's just the way basketball is, right? Yeah.
Totally agree.
And a couple hot takes just to end off. Sorry, right. guys.
Yeah, real quick.
We struggle nearly as much as the Bulls to score in the half court.
Yep.
Oh, God.
And defend man-to-man specifically against top teams, which we talked about, right?
Yeah.
OG needs to become the mini Klaus. Study tapes of Kawhi on D and his game
He's
in general.
That.
Of course, he will never be the offensive creator and tough shot maker yet.
Yeah.
But take specifics like polishing his handle, constantly active on the weak side. Do you remember those plays when Kawhi would just dive back for a steal or put his hand and like diving backwards on
yeah,
the weak side? Like,
that Minnesota, crazy. That great Minnesota play. Yeah, he's yeah. improving, and he's doing it. I think OG's minutes are strange, and he's being put in like bad. He's not being able to be an individual contributor on defenses or on offense as
totally,
much as he needs to be.
For sure.
I think we can like run parts of the offense for OG. And that's
I agree.
Doesn't
and maybe run some pin downs or something for him and have him just get open for shots. Right?
Yeah, his bounce seems to be back too. He could definitely yeah. make the most. Like, if the Raptors started to do a couple top of the key, like dribble handoffs or pin downs for
yeah.
OG,
yeah,
that'd be cool.
And he should obviously make a read, and if he can get to the rim, that's even better, especially when you have Mark at the top passing the ball.
Facts.
And also, one other thing for on the OG line is. Reverse dunk only when you're wide open or driving baseline.
Okay? It looks cooler, man.
It does look so much fun.
I know it looks cool.
Everything's reverse. Reverse layup, reverse dunk.
Yeah.
Don't do that in traffic. Just extend with one or two and put it down with authority, right?
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in OG, and I have been for a long time.
Yeah.
Yep.
I guess you could say I was one of those guys who was on the OG over Pascal wagon.
Oh, wow.
Of course, Spicy's tea has taken off, so... He's on a different level right now, and I love him for that. And we want to continue to see him grow. But we really do need to address these issues, like offensive creation, perhaps through the trade market. We need a pressure relief valve who can actually make shots. Maybe
that
it's two
too.
Guys, right? Maybe yeah. Maybe guys who can create a bit, and a guy who can address the lack of offensive or defensive rebounds.
Sure.
Who could we get? Somebody talked about Love earlier. Another name is potentially Derek Favors, right? Or some other. I know neither are really going to defend, so that may not fit the identity of the team per se. But they could address offensive or rebounding. Love just sucks up defensive rebounds. Obviously, he's not a very good defender, and it'll kind of change the look of our and makeup of our team quite a bit.
Mm.
But it's something to think about, right?
Yeah.
And nickname, the Surge Protector for Serge Ibaka. That's it. I'll end it on that.
All right.
All right. All right. Well, thanks for the call.
Have a great night, guys. Thank you, guys.
Peace, right. peace.
All right. We are going to end the show, but it's not fair to leave all these YouTube comments there. All
right.
Let's clear them out real quick. First one from Robert. Can we get out of this funk with a trade? Obviously, we have faith in the development team, but the problem with having undervalued players that we develop is that we have less
sellable
assets to get great trades.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know.
Would you rather have a good player or a first-round pick?
I'd rather have a good player. So,
Fred VanVleet. I'm just kidding.
No. We're not
but sure he's a valuable player. There's no funk on him for being an undrafted player.
Look, just let them play through it for a while.
Yeah.
If it really fails, then ultimately, like, you can move some of the vets for expirings. But it doesn't make that much sense to me to make that big of a win now trade. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
Because they're not built to contend this year. I'm sorry to say. Like, it's just what it is.
They're meant to entertain and be a good team. Next question.
And develop.
Someone needs to ask Ibaka how hungry he is because he's looking like someone just happy to take a check and not to do the work lately. Right.
There's a lot of things you can say about Serge. One thing you cannot say about him is that he's not work hard. Bro, I'm telling you, this man has incredible work ethic.
Yeah.
He
just kind of sucks
works,
right now.
Man.
It
he
happens.
Works. He's got calcium in his bones. Like,
what?
It's calcification. I mean,
oh,
I don't know, man.
Gotcha.
He's playing real.
He'll be okay.
He needs some oil on those legs. Caesar asks, is there a place for Patrick McCaw? It seems like he has been absolutely useless since he joined the Raps. That's hurtful.
Like, joined him 2 days ago or in general?
No, in general, I think. Let's be honest.
Patrick McCaw's not a useless player.
Yeah.
He's not a great player, but he's...
I think they believe in him.
He plays hard. Like, look, we saw a guy who didn't bring much to the table except for effort in Chris Boucher last year.
Yeah.
And he's evolved into having a game, an NBA-level skill set that will serve him pretty decently as a, you know, fringe rotation guy for probably the next couple of years. Patrick McCaw can probably do that.
Sure. Yeah, I don't really see the opportunity cost there, so it's fine. Adnan asks, how'd you feel about Apollo 33 as Jamario Moon's nickname? I liked it. Yeah, I liked it. It was unfortunately one of those Apollo missions that failed, but, you know, I like the nickname. I was such a big Jamario Moon fan as a child that I went to summer camp, and they had one of those, like, blank T-shirt activities where you can draw on it, and the T-shirt I decided to make was a Jamario Moon jersey. That's how much I was passionate about it, and that's how also my poor my parents were. Adnan asks, yo, guys, tell me if... I'm assuming that's how he said yo.
Yo.
Yo! Yo, guy, tell me if we should go for Tristan Thompson or Kevin Love.
Neither.
Yeah, I'm okay. I mean, Tristan would be more useful than Love, actually, for this team, I feel like. And then the last question. This one's mean. But from Jurassic Mark, Stanley Johnson can visit NASA to fly to the space... I've never heard the space before, and find his talents from the aliens, from Space Jam.
That's an insane question.
Whose
9-year-old wrote this? If it is a 9-year-old, salute to you.
Nah, 9-year-olds aren't watching Space Jam, though, let's be real. So, that does it for the show. Josh?
Will?
This is a pleasure.
As always.
Thank you to our sponsor, KFC.
Salute to KFC.
Yeah. Oh, what's going on, man?
What's going on?
Wow, Detective Lee. Oh, wow.
Great show, man. Great show every week. Uh-huh. Keep up the great work.
Wow.
Shouts KFC.
Yeah,
that's chicken in town.
All right.
Salute to the sponsor.
There you go. There you go. Thank you.
Thank you, Detective Lee.
Thank you, Detective Lee. Go find Soo Young.
Thanks for watching. Tell somebody to tell somebody. And we're out.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast, then net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.